show them what worldwide music
they
is.
Call me Mr. Worldwide.
Let's show them why they call me Mr. Worldwide.
Why you think they call me Mr. Worldwide?
Let's show them why they call me Mr. Worldwide.
Hold up, cause bitch, I'm worldwide.
I'm involved in the music business, but the funny thing is, half of these fools don't know music.
Welcome to Friends in Hell. This will be episode 5. We just finished episode 4 with Mr. John P. McCann. I want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Well, this is episode 5, and Paul Roberts returns, meaning that we didn't have time to do the show, the original show that we did with him. We didn't have that much time to talk about other things, so we just shoot the breeze. Better sound quality. Me and Paul just talk. This will be a short show, but this is what I call the deleted scenes or the deleted recordings. I hope you enjoy it, and here is everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm here with my good bat buddy Paul Roberts. How are you, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm RT1 too, also.
RT1. So what brings you here today with the show?
Well, basically, you wanted to talk about making costumes. And there aren't too many people that do it in the bat community, so I guess I was one that you found, and I thought I'd talk to you about the things that you might have questions on.
Sweet. Well, what got you into it?
Well, basically, when I was a child, I would watch the Adam West Batman show, and, I thought that was real life. I didn't even know what a TV was. So when I saw that, I thought, oh, this is really happening. So, I'm talking like 2, 3, 4 years old. And so I would go down to the basement, and, that was my bat cave in a closet down there. I'd had some pipes that I could slide down. That was my bat pole, and I'd go riding my big wheel down the street, and that was my, Batmobile. That's all I had to work with. We're talking, really, really, really young. And I thought Batman was actually something you could be, something you could actually do. I thought the world was, that way, and I just hadn't experienced it because I'm young, and later on I would. But the one thing that I wasn't able to do was to make a costume. I had no ability to get that, and of course costumes weren't available. And if you did go to the store for Halloween and you got a bat costume, well, all the Halloween costumes at that time, and this was way before you were born, were all these really cheesy plastic things. And it really wasn't a costume. It just had the picture of what you were supposed to be on the front chest. Hmm. Now, we all know that Batman didn't go around with a picture on his chest.
Yeah.
He had a bat symbol, and he had a cape and gloves and cool boots and utility belt, of course, and the cowl and everything. Well, I couldn't do anything like that. And there's nobody else in the world that did anything like that. Not my family. Nobody. So all my life, I really just kind of just wished that I could, have that costume and live in a world like that, that flamboyant lifestyle, And, when I grew up, I found out, oh, that's not really the real world. Oh, that was dramatic. So I said, but you know what? I'm not going to give up on the things that I'm interested in. So I'm just going to celebrate those things in another way. I'm going to go ahead and make the costumes and things like that. And so I could get closer to that, dream that I had as a child and not live it in the exact same way, but a little bit different. So I basically got into it that way. I said, I want to make a costume. Now, I couldn't sew. I had no skills, but I was an artist. And I learned all different types of fine art and commercial art and just done all kinds of artwork. And fortunately, one of the things that I was really good at was sculpture. And when I found out that the new 1989 Batman was not going to be anything like the Adam West Batman, but it was going to be, like latex suits and form-fitting things that like armor and stuff like that, I said, oh, well, the fact that I can't sew doesn't hurt me anymore. Now I can mold and sculpt and, create these things. And so I said, I'm going to take a shot at that suit, the 1989 suit, because that's what Batman looks like now at the time when I'll actually be doing it. So that's how I got started. I went on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
I've been married 25 years, and I went to the Chinese theater in Hollywood. I went to California for our honeymoon, and I walked into that theater to watch another movie, and this was, back in even before the movie came out. And on the bright curtains, the maroon curtains, was the bat symbol. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're gonna make a movie about Batman. This is like very fortuitous. This means something in my life, that I'm starting my life out here on my honeymoon, and now this is going to mean something. It's almost like the bat symbol is calling me.
It's an omen.
For all I knew, I was the biggest bat fan on the whole planet. And for all I know, I still am.
Yeah.
No. So when that movie came out and I saw what was really happening in the Batman world at that time, I said, okay, this is my time to re-enter into this dream I had as a child and start making some things happen.
Were you in the hoopla, like I wasn't around, but in 89, when the movie came out, there was a lot of people were insane for Batman. Were you part of the niche of that? That you were like, no. Yes, finally.
No, I have always been an artist behind the drawing board, behind the camera, behind everything. And I've never been out front and center. I didn't even have a Batman t-shirt like everybody else did at that time. But I just kept on thinking like the real Batman thought.
Yeah.
I'm the secret one. I'm the clandestine one behind everything. I have the secret cave. I'm the real Batman. I'm the real fan. And nobody else really is. That's the way I felt when I was a child. So I put all those things away and I thought, you know, when the movie came out, I still felt like that. So I didn't get caught up in the hysteria. I did everything in privacy. So when I made my costume, I made it and I went out and used it a couple of times and had a great time and everything. And then I just put it on a mannequin and it sat there for like a decade. And nobody even knew I existed. And hardly anybody even knew the costume existed. Because that's the way Batman is. You know, he's like secretive. He does his own thing. So what happened was when the towers got bombed, got hit by the planes, everything changed. And I was doing video production at that time and everything. And everybody stopped hiring everybody. There was like a freeze on everything. And so everything I was doing with my art and my illustration and all that type of thing and video production just kind of stopped. And I said, gee, what am I going to do in the meantime? So I started hitting the studio some more and just doing my own hobby things some more. And that's how I got back into it again. And I was showing on the internet some of these things I was making. And that was the very first time because the internet was getting more prevalent at that time. And when I started showing people what I did, I said, oh, wow, there's other people out there that would like to have the same experiences that I have. They are not an artist, so they have no way of having it. So, lo and behold, people started contacting me privately, got to be friends, buddies, bat buddies, I call them. I started a message board, and, and that the rest is history. We developed a camaraderie, and we shared and traded various suit pieces and things like that, and talked about how to make costumes, And then it just became so much of a broader world at that point. I enjoyed the world where it was just me, where I was like in the Batcave behind the mask. But then I also enjoyed the world that I never experienced before, where I was out in the open and talking with other people like myself and sharing these things. And so that just took it so exponentially larger than I ever thought it would be, and it went from there. That's how you found me, I guess.
Yeah, I found you in 2006. I remember it. I was making a Batman suit and I wanted to do an 89 suit, but I couldn't afford, my pops couldn't afford me the muscle piece or the expensive cowls or anything. So what we did is we went on eBay and we bought the an 89 cowl that they sold during when the movie's coming out, a Morris cowl.
Rubies or Morris,
Morris. And and it was like yours. I did not want one that had a slit in the back. I didn't want one that had a slit. I wanted to do the old hard fashion way. And it was an 89, and they were sold like they do in the stores. And I had that, and I wanted a leather cape. And I saw you had a picture of how you make your latex capes, your generic latex capes. And that's what got me into it. I said, man, this guy's cool. This guy's doing things that I want to do. And then when I got older,
We had to come up with things. There was no way to do it. There was no way to find out how to do it.
Yeah.
We had to innovate it. Now, of course, the movie had to do their own innovation, but you know, we couldn't ask them, how'd you do it? So we had to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. And so I figured out how to do that cape that way.
Yeah.
And all the different things I needed for the custom, I figured out how to do it. And I'm still figuring out how to do things today.
Yeah, and you did help this Six Flags, right? When you did some suits for Six Flags. On the stunt show.
Actually, what I did for the Six Flags thing mostly was I actually carved and created an entire bat cave with a scenic shop. I was one of the lead sculptors on it. That was a big thing. I did a lot of statues. If you've been to California, Magic Mountain, if you've been to Chicago, you'll see the statues and the memorials and the different things like that. I helped carve that with one other sculptor. And the bat cave at Chicago, I carved that with a number of sculptors. I was one of the lead sculptors on that one as well. and the console of the ride operators. You know, it was all created like bat cave type walls. So that was one of the things that I had to do with that.
That's cool. What I'm about to say is when you started about like after when 9/11 happened, you said, I'm going to do this as a career. Did you think that you're going to have bat followers following you, or do you just think, oh, I'm just doing this just for fun?
Oh, I always felt it was just for fun because I don't like to look at it as a career because, you know, you can't really make a career out of it since it's such a niche market. And also with trademark issues and things like that, you have to do things very generic. A lot of things you could look at, like I've seen people take my generic facades and make other superheroes and things out of them. And I don't even customize them. So what they really are is just like an armor type of a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be like a RoboCop or you could be, some kind of futuristic man or a robot, or you could make it work for yourself as a Batman costume. I've seen, you know, different types of superhero costumes. People have used my facades to make Predator things, Muscle Man things. They've used it for muscles underneath spandex, all kinds of things. So I really tried to make, you know, my jumping off foundation point, I really tried to make something that was going to be Paul Roberts, artsy one. Mm-hmm. This is a generic thing that can be used in the real world. And if someone wants to use it as Batman, well, then they can. And so I really tried to take that road because that was really only the road I knew how to take, because you can't really offer these things publicly unless you go in a generic route. So that's what I've really tried to do, and I'm still trying to do that today.
Very cool. How often do you get from the boards, hey, it's R21, that's the guy who makes the cowls, that's the guy who makes the suits. Do people know you, like a lot of people know you, or is it just once again like us?
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of people out there that just go out and they don't have a lot of rules and stipulations like I make for myself and try to tread lightly and try to watch what I'm doing. They just do whatever.
Yeah.
And so what they've done, those kinds of people, is they've cut the pie slices a whole bunch of times. So now the small little slices are so insignificant. It was a niche market as it was in the first place for the high quality costumes. Now you can go out there and get the cheap, you know, costumes that are readily made and trademarked. And then now there's some good ones that are readily made and trademarked. But my little piece of the pie got really small. And so I just, you know, I basically, like, there were some years there that I didn't even make any cowls. And I think this year I've made maybe like five of one of them. And, you know, but what happens is if somebody will contact me privately and they'll say, you know, they'll say, hey, I bought one of your generic facades. I'd really like to, you know, make this more like this type of a style or whatever. And I'd say, well, okay. Why don't you get on our board and start talking with us and sharing your life and everything, and we'll see what kind of trades we can do and things like that. We'll see what we can do to get you, you know, to have the kind of experiences that I had one time. And so our small little community started like that, you know, and sometimes I say, okay, you know what, I've got an extra, you know, thing in my private collection that I can let you have. You know, if we do a trade or something like that, then, you know, sometimes somebody ends up with one of my pieces, that kind of thing. If it's a generic piece, a lot of times I put those out there openly, and you know, and that's fine because it's just, it could be anything. But some of the more specialty pieces, like a certain looking thing, I might offer to somebody that I know and you know, that's in our little group, that type of thing.
No problem. And also
case by case basis.
Cool. Also, FYI, folks, if you want to contact Paul, go to artsy1.com. And just contact them there. Or if you want to go to the board, Brotherhood of the Bat, and just have fun. I got into Brotherhood of the Bat like a year ago.
Yeah, that's a great board. That's where I got my start, and I brought a lot of people to that. And it's still going. And I've got my own board called Behind the Mask as well. And we talk about more philosophical things over there a lot of times. Like, what do you think? What do you like behind the mask? What kind of a person are you? What draws you to this character? So that was kind of the thing. And that board's been going for about 8 years as well. But the basic costuming board is behind, is Brotherhood of the Bat.
Yeah.
And I really took the Brotherhood of the Bat thing literally, that it was a brotherhood. We're all there to help one another. And so one of the things that I try to do over the years there is give tutorial advice, you know, develop a good, strong camaraderie with the people that are there that are all going through the same thing that I initially wanted early in my life. And them, even as adults, they're going through that. They want it, but how do they make it happen? And, you know, and so I was always there for them, saying, hey, I wanted this as I was a child, and I made it happen for myself. I happen to be an artist. I realize I can't make it happen for everybody, but we can teach you how to make it happen. And a lot of times we have taught other people how to do things, and there's a lot more people that are involved now. And so I really see it as a camaraderie thing, and I really treated it as best I can as a brotherhood thing, and you know, sharing what I have so that others can have those experiences.
Paul was, I did something for Behind the Mask, and I did, I was making Batman gauntlets, and I told you the story before, but viewers don't know, I did bat gauntlets, and I had no idea.
I didn't remember you right away, but I remember what you did.
Yeah, now you remember me.
Made that connection.
Yeah, I did bat gauntlets, and it was, I didn't know who to ask or for help or anything, so I went to Behind the Mask, and I made an account. And I posted there, and in less than 30 minutes, someone said, "Very good," or someone told me, "Well, they need to be longer, they need to be shorter." And they were just made from simple leather that I cut from my mom's book bag that she didn't want, or she didn't know that I cut anymore. And had some boxes of, I collect shoes, so I had a box of sneakers and cut them up, painted with anti-rust black paint so it matched the leather.
Yeah.
And it worked good. And Paul said to me, he goes, "You remind me of me." And I was like,
"Yeah." You know what I did for my first pair of gloves was I took a leather jacket and cut off the sleeves.
Yeah.
And that was my gauntlets. And I added them on another pair of gloves. So
yeah,
we really, you know, we used what we had. And, and that's what it was.
I didn't have a pair of fins on me. I didn't have, I couldn't get the beautiful urethane fins. I just had a cardboard and glued them right there. And then Paul told me, he goes, "It's great that you're doing it the way you want it. It's not the way they want it. It's the way you want it. So, hoorah for you." And then once I messaged him about a cowl, he told me, "Man, that cowl looks great on you, but there's something different about that." I said, "Okay." And then he would help me with my cape. Tell me, "You need to sew," and I don't know how to sew, and you were offering me your stuff, or the worst part was the suit, the spandex. I didn't have any money to do the muscle suit, so I wanted to do the spandex, and Paul was like, "It's gonna be hard finding Batman gray or Batman black," so I couldn't find, because you told me, he goes, "It's impossible to find the full spandex suit," and I was on a tight deadline.
I can't remember that conversation, but I will say this. Ever since cosplay has gotten, and by the way, cosplay is not what we do. We were the originators. the cosplay are the imitators.
Yeah.
But ever since they got big, well, spandex is nothing to find now.
Yeah.
But back in the olden days, nobody was doing this. We had to literally make and make things happen, you know, that just didn't exist.
Yeah.
And we forged forth a new community that just nobody knew about. And, you know, I was just at Dragon Con just this weekend, and there's like over 30,000 people there now. There's 80,000 people in the parade. And, you know, when I first went, and almost everybody's in costume. You stand out if you're not in costume.
Yeah.
When I first went, we were like the only people in costume. There were a few Star Trek people and a few vampires. We were the first people there. And each year we went back with a new Batman costume, a new Superman costume, or whatever. And we started out this, and then we started having people just gathering around us and saying, "Oh, how'd you get that?" You know, because it doesn't exist. Boy, we made it. And that's the answer. And that's the only answer there is, because if you don't make it, you can't get it. And so what people started doing was saying, "Gee, I got to figure out how you did that, and I got to start making my own things." I helped a few people out with some generic parts and things like that, but then people saw what we were doing, and they said, "I want to do that too." And not only for Batman, but for every other thing. And I think that, you know, you've heard of the butterfly theory. If a butterfly flaps its wings on the other side of the earth, it affects things that are going on over here.
Yeah. Well,
I know that we had more to do with this cosplay thing than even the butterfly effect. We directly were involved. And this offspring thing now has gotten so big that now if you want to look for something, there's a good chance that, at least in spandex, you can find it.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people can't pull off spandex. Hence the muscles. That's what we need with the sculptured muscles. A lot of superheroes have a basic body shape. So one of the things that I did was I invented and developed the world's first commercially available latex over foam muscle suit, full one piece. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't come in sizes. You have to be tall. And if you're not tall, then you have to be you have to cut it in the middle and put it underneath the belt, you know, put the splice underneath the belt. And that did really well, but then I started using it for mostly facades because a lot of people didn't want that huge, huge muscle suit mass. You know, it's almost like more of a Superman thing.
Yeah.
So, where are we now? Let's see. What have we not talked about yet? I think we've covered a lot of some of the basics. What else can I
Oh, we could just shoot the breeze right now. Just talk normally. When you did the 89 inspired you to make your own suit, correct?
Yes, I like the fact that I now can do it because sewing is out of the question. Now you've got to be bulletproof, you've got to be tough, you're going to be sculpted. And I was already a sculptor. So, you know, I said, okay, well, I'll enter the Batman suit time in my life at this phase. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
I said, now's the time. I can do it, and I did.
How did you feel? How did you feel going, like, when you saw 89 in theaters? Did you say, "Man, that's a great movie," or like, "It's not my Batman"?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I hate to say what I really think because, but I have to. Well, there were a lot of really good things about it. When I first saw how he looked in the photos before the movie, I thought, "What the heck are they thinking about?" But then I realized, yeah, but. You know, all those characters in the 60s show, they didn't shoot guns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're shooting guns. Of course he has to look like that. You know, he's not springing out of the darkness in a gymnastics or a wrestler's uniform anymore and having the villain who is a cowardly lot staring at that symbol and just freaking out for the second that it takes to get pummeled, you know, as he emerges from the shadows anymore. No, he's ready for him. He's got his whole crew. They've all got guns. Batman can't take on 40 people at the same time. Unless he's got some protection. So obviously it's got to be that. So by the time I was an adult and I was watching this, I reasoned, okay, I love my nostalgic view of Batman and the world being like that and the idea that it could exist, but that was a child's dream. And I'm still mostly attached to that more than anything else. But when I entered it, it was in a realistic fashion. It was in a fashion that it had to be this way because that's the world today. And so I made that adjustment. I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to live this way with this suit because today, in this day and age, that's the way you'd need.
Yeah.
So I looked at the film, and nothing had ever been done like that. So I liked it. Of course I didn't I liked it. There were certain things I didn't like. I didn't like how many times Vicki Vale screamed. That got really annoying. I didn't like, you know, the Prince music. I just don't like Prince music that much. You know, it's not my thing. I don't know. There were just certain things that I didn't like. But you know, overall, it was really something good. And I guess at first I didn't like the crudity of the costume. Mm-hmm. But now I realize, yeah, that's great, the crudity of the costume. Because, you know, he's just getting started.
It's his first year.
He doesn't know what he's doing. A little bit of crudity, you know, kind of says where he's coming from. But then when I saw The Batman Returns, I said, oh, you know what? This guy knew how to sculpt. And I recently have met him as well, the sculptor, actual sculptor. And I said, this, you can appreciate this guy. This suit is perfectly done. And so it looked great on the screen because all those nice washed out lights, you know, just made the curves of it look so good. And then you had Michelle Pfeiffer, and she had a really cool suit too. And it was made so interestingly and intricately that you didn't even know how it was made. But it was made not just like you think, like just everybody thinks it was just PVC or something like that. But it had like latex application pieces and all kinds of different things. And I said, this is the look that I like because it looks good on the screen. It's believable. It's bulletproof. It's carved well. It's sculpted well. It presents as it should in this modern day. So that's when I stopped. Because then when you went into these other ones, even though the suits continued to look good, it started getting ludicrous movies going on there.
Yeah.
Totally unbelievable movies. And the nipples and the ridiculousness. I mean, the shot in that third movie where the safe swings down right into that hole exactly, and the guy's on there with the acid and everything. And just some of the ludicrous things. And then the last one, just... where he pulls out the Visa card, I think that was the absolute low point where he pulls out the Bat Visa card. I just lost it. I just, you know, and everything's, I can't even hardly think about it, talk about it to you, to tell you the truth. But then TDK came along and, you know, The Dark Knight and begins, and there were some good things going on there. But, you know, then we get into a more practical world. But every one of those movies was just drawn out more than it needed to be, especially the second and the third one. They were like Oreos. The beginning and the end were good, but in the middle, it was just boring, drawn out.
Yeah.
And, it just wasn't my thing. And so no matter how good he looked, and the fact that Catwoman was once again in the third one, I just couldn't get into it. And especially since in my personal life, I wouldn't really like Christian Bale because I've heard about his personality and everything off the set, and it just bugs me. You know, I don't know what Adam West is like in real life. I've met him a number of times. He seems like a nice guy. But I just didn't feel like he would... like Christian Bale. I just felt like, you know, don't know, he's the kind of Batman I'd want to get to know.
Yeah.
And so I just had a fondness for that I never am going to have for these. But I'm excited about the next one now, the one with Batman versus Superman, because we've had the suit revealed to us and the cowl, and it looks great. It's like a combination of both. It's a combination of the comic one and the armor one, because it's like a Kevlar weave and things like that. It's got the short ears. It's got the muscles. But it's got the new modern look. So I'm really excited about that. And so I'm getting back into it again. I've got a lot of hope. So that's where I'm at right now, as far as those things go.
Sweet.
But in my heart, like this weekend when I was at Dragon Con, I wore the Adam West suit, and I was in the parade and had a ball. So in my heart, I'm always going to be nostalgic for that.
Cool.
Where the dream came from.
Yeah. '89, when I didn't, of course, I wasn't born in '89, I was born in '95, but I'm a senior now in high school. And my junior year, the last day of school, we had to do final exams. And we all finished, and someone said, can we watch a movie? Well, I brought '89 in a DVD, and we saw that movie. And me and my friend were watching it. No one else was watching. They were all on their phones, and you know how teenagers are. And me and my friend, we love comics and everything, so we're watching dead on the screen. And I think it's the greatest movie of all time.
Okay, so now even when you look back at it, you still feel that way?
Yeah, I still feel that way. I feel like, man, like it's great. Yeah, of course it has its ups and downs, but that's how it was, you know.
So you just like me, I look back and see how ludicrous it was, and I love it even more.
Yeah,
you look back and you see its flaws, and you still love it in spite of them.
I don't
so
care.
I really like that.
Yeah,
it touched you so hard that you forgive it for any shortcomings it might have. So you're just like me, but in a different age.
Yeah, I don't forgive Batman Robin. I liked it when I was little. I saw I went to the theaters and see it, and I remember my dad bought it on VHS at the time. I had all the action figures, and now I grew up and I says, why is there ice 45 times? And like you said, I think the new movies are gonna be better. They're gonna be now more. The suit was, when I saw the suit, I actually saved it on my phone and showed everyone. Look at the new suit, because I don't care what the Superman suit looks like, because for Superman it's blue, yellow, and red. That's it. That's all you can actually do for Superman. But Batman,
but you gotta admit that the Returns Superman a few years back was a little bit like modeling underwear in Times Square.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that whatsoever.
So you can mess it up if you're not careful.
Yeah. Did you hear the Superman they never made with Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage, yeah. That would have been cool.
That would have been cool because they had the regenerative suit. It was all clear and they had lights. My dad saw the George Reeves Superman when he was young. And when my dad was little, he used to see George Reeves Superman. He goes, that's Superman. I said, yeah, but you have to change with times. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I watched that show too. But here's the thing. The difference is I knew I couldn't fly.
Yeah.
And even though I thought that might be real too and I wasn't sure, I quickly abandoned that and opted for the Batman because it seemed so that it could be realistic and actually happening. And so that's why I made that connection to Batman. And that stays till even today, because even today, theoretically, Batman could exist.
Yeah.
And so that's the connection that I made. But, I like that early Superman, too.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw a bit of it, but I just can't watch it. For me, it's sometimes boring. I watch the old serials, the old Batman 1940 serials, black and white. Have you seen those?
I still have not seen all of those. I got to get to do that sometime.
Oh, it is. You think you get disappointed because you think in the comics Batman's jacked or Batman's well-fitted. This actor was overweight. This actor was a little pudgy. The Batmobile was a gray limousine.
Yeah.
Alfred drove him all the time. Batman lazy. You can't drive. But after let's skip to that. When someone says, or you say, all right, I'm gonna make a new cow. I'm gonna make the new flavor of the month or year, whatever. And you say you saw the new trailer for it or the new suit, and you say, "I like this. I'm gonna make this." How long does it take you to start from clay to finished product?
Well, we'll have to do another one of these so I give you the answer, because I'm actually doing that and working on it right now. And so I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I won't stop until I am really happy with it, and I don't know how long that'll take. And then I run into the same problem. Like, I want to do the suit, but I know up front that if I don't get a few people that I can, you know, trade with and try to, you know, get some financing for it, that I just really can't afford the time and effort that it's going to take to do it.
Yeah.
That it's going to take me away from my other work. I know I've got to make it so that it is something I can offer to at least some of my buds. And so it's got to be good, and it's got to be different than other things. And I'm going to have to put some major effort in on it. You know, I mean, you know, those studios, man, they got a lot of people working on those things. They got limitless time and budget.
152 people, and you're just one person. Artsy one.
Is it really 152, or did you just make that up?
No, it's 152. We did a class, we do film class at school.
Yeah.
And basically, when they do a normal superhero production, it's 152. When they do a comedy or something with costumes, it gets down to 50. 152 is because you have to do sculpting. Oh wait, my eye mask fell out. Oh, hang on, glue on there.
Right,
so
right, all that. And you know those Spider-Man suits that everybody loved in the first one. That was really the best one, I think, of the first Spider-Mans. They said that when they broke down the costs, those were $50,000 a piece.
Yeah.
And all it is spandex with a little bit of raised foam latex ribbing on it.
Yeah.
But when you break down the costs, that's what it takes to make those things.
Yeah, they did the Flash. If you remember the old TV show, The Flash.
Blocking.
Did that. And then they said that the actor, John Wesley Shipp, said he had to take the suit off, but he couldn't dry it. They couldn't wash the suit. So they would just put Lysol, and he could feel the water and everything. And he said those suits cost $150,000 at that 1990 money at that time.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. That's really cool.
Yeah, trust me, you can check that out on YouTube. But do you ever feel like you say, I did this, now I don't want to do it? Or you say, you know what, that could be better. Let me do a Mach 2. Let me do a Mach 3 of a particular piece of work that you do, or no?
I do feel that way quite often. But I just can't afford to just dabble in this forever because, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
And so I try to get it as close as I can to what I would like the first time, and then I just live with it until I'm on to the next thing.
For your favorite, let's say your favorite Batman cowl style, are you more particular with returns, or are you just like all of them basically?
Well, the returns, the thing I liked about it was it took everything the first one wanted to be, and the crudeness disappeared. So that's what I liked. So the very first time you saw a really high-quality cowl was Returns. And you'll never be able to go back to the very first time again. So that'll always be the first time. So the love affair with the suit and cowl itself started for me then, because it made the full transition from the sewing to the crudity of the first, then all the way to the more perfect. And so that's when I latched on and said, okay, now this is what I need it to be. If it's going to be latex, I'm happy now because this has been done so professionally and nicely. So that's where that came to be. But now I'm actually happier with this cowl that I'm working with right now, the Batman versus Superman one, because it's the hybrid of the comics and the high-tech suit.
Uh-huh.
And so it actually pays homage to the older comics at the same time as being, you know, reinforced and believable that there's armor under there and things like that. So I think it's the best of both worlds, and I think I'm going to enjoy it more. It's going to bring me all the way up to speed in the modern day with something that I can maybe enjoy as much as I did from when I was a child.
Sweet. So forward. Cool. And folks, just
hope the movie's good.
I am praying. Folks, if you want to see the way Paul is talking about, go to his Facebook site, artsy1.com, or is it just artsy1?
Well, if you go to artsy1.com, it'll have the links for everything else there.
Okay.
So artsy1, A-R-T-S-E-E, the numeral 1 at .com, and also artsy1@earthlink.net is my email.
Yeah, and make sure, if you hear this show, make sure that Friends in Hell has sent you. And also, Paul, when you start the cowl, I think you have on your website, also known as artsy1.com, you have the different returns cows, but do you sometimes say, I like the chest emblem, but it could be cut down to like a V-neck, or is it...
Yeah, a lot of times I try to alter things. That the people that know me know that what I'm saying is true. And so, you know, that's why I'm doing it this way. Because it's too much a part of so many of our fan lives to not have it be there. So we have to play the game in a good, smart way. And that's what I do. I do the generic things, and you can do what you want, and it's enhanced many people's lives. And then they come back and share. They come back and show me what their experiences were like. It's such a robust life on these boards and through emails and talking live when I go to a conference with somebody and things like that. It's just, there's nothing like it. And of course, the costume experience, when you're having it, if you haven't had it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you go out there and you're looking right, you're going to feel like, and the audience will respond to you, and they will say, that is Batman. And for that time, that will be you. And you'll get millions of pictures taken and stuff like that. I mean, even when I was in the parade the other day in Dragon Con, going around in the Adam West suit, there must have been 15,000 pictures taken. I mean, that's got to be a new record. I remember when I was at Comic Con, I estimated maybe when I was Superman, when the Superman Returns film came out and I met Bryan Singer, I estimated that day maybe there were 5,000 pictures. I couldn't go more than 10 or 15 feet without getting surrounded. That's fun, especially when you're in a costume that you made yourself. And they say, where'd you get that? I've never seen it before. And I say, well, I made it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, very fun thing to do. And that's why cosplay has gotten so big. And I'm going to say, this is not cosplay. We did this way before cosplay. But people like that experience. And, you know, so I like to feel that I've helped some people to have the fun that I've had. And it just broadens your life. It just makes you... It's just something you're not going to do most of the time. It's a unique experience. So that's really kind of summing it up.
Cool.
Why do I do this?
Cool. On the for the cowl that you're doing for Dawn of Justice, you're doing a full neck piece, just like
the... I hate that name, too, by the way.
Dawn of Justice, you don't like it? Come on, let's talk about it.
The next thing is going to happen is they're going to do the Justice League.
No, did you hear that The Rock has just recently got casted as Black Adam?
No, I'm not really keeping really up on this because when I see this, I'd like to kind of be
surprised
out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So even when you have, and it's a good thing these boards say spoiler alert because whenever there's anything that they know.
When you saw it already, when you heard Dawn of Justice, you didn't like that. How'd you feel when they had Wonder Woman go in the movie?
Well, I'm still trying not to follow it too much.
Yeah.
But I will glance at the costumes and things like that. And I think it's cool that they're going to have Wonder Woman be more realistic as well. Because the bracelets alone, I don't care how fast you are, not going to be enough against bullets. So you got to have a little more tactical gear on you. You just do. However, so far the preliminary sketches, they're not paying enough homage to the earlier Wonder Woman's. I think they need to bring the color up more.
Yeah.
I think they can go with the style they have, but if they don't bring the color up more, not only are you not paying enough homage to the earlier ones, but you're also confusing it too much with Xena and things like that. So they need to make that distinction a little more clear, and I think they'll be okay. So I was kind of glad that that's going to go in there. Yeah. I also think, though, if you get too much going on, then it kind of isn't about... you know, the main things anymore, and it can mess up a movie.
Are you picky, like, when it's like we talk about suits, are you picky that Batman has to be black, or Batman has to be blue, or Batman can be, you know what, Batman can be black or blue?
Picky. No. I actually think that in the beginning it had to be what it was, because the flamboyantness as he emerged from the shadows in a dynamic way was enough, supposedly, to stun the person at looking at the bat symbol long enough that he could get the upper hand on him with a good punch or something like that. So that flamboyantness of something they'd never seen and weren't expecting had to be that way. But now they are expecting it. They got their guns. They got a whole group of them. They're expecting it. So he has to wear black now. He has to be, you know, hiding in the shadows. He doesn't want the big yellow thing on his chest.
Yeah.
Because that gives him a better target to see even before he emerges from the shadows. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with both worlds, but at the same time, I like what they're doing with this new one because they're paying homage to both worlds and they're merging them, and that, I know they're doing it to get more people interested,
yeah,
and make more money, of course, and more ticket sales, but still, at the same time, you know, since this is so near and dear to our hearts, it it's actually good that they're doing this because so many more people will feel good about this and put it right there in the book with their other one that they already like and say, yep, this is close enough. This is close enough. Let's put it in there. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I forgot my original question, but but once we were talking, I finally figured it out. The cowl that you're making is a full head and neck. So it's basically just one, so he can turn his head. Are you giving the option of, like, or are you going to do one? There are people that cut it right here, so it could be just, like, almost like a helmet type and have a two-piece cowl, or you just want to make the full neck and head, or just the head, or?
Well, I'll tell you, I was wondering about that myself. I won't be doing this in a way that it has to be latex, even though I like latex.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like you could have that fuller one-piece thing and still have it move if you had special techniques in making it. So if you're a multimillionaire and you haven't got these, like, special microfiber things that are bulletproof and all these other technical things that may or may not exist in the real world, if you haven't got these people making it so that you can have a full head covering and still turn your head, something's wrong. So I don't know how he's going to turn his head because we haven't seen anything yet. But I would like to think that he can have the full thing and still turn his head.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping that's what they're going to do. Now, obviously, if I do make a latex cowl, I'm not going to be able to turn my head very much. But, you know, a lot of times when you go out there in the stuff that you do as a costumer, it isn't about being Batman. It's about looking like Batman.
Yeah.
And you know right from the beginning, it's all about the fantasy. And you're not going to act out the movie scenes. You're only going to feel like you're that person. And the public's perception is that you're that person. They're not going to know unless you tell them, I couldn't fight you in this. I wouldn't be able to see what I'm doing. I wouldn't be able to turn my head. I wouldn't be able to do it. They're not going to know those things.
Mm-hmm.
Only our little niche community really knows those things or takes the time because other people have lives, right?
Yeah. I learned that the hard way.
Like in my muscle suit, I mean, you can move around, but you wouldn't want to fight anybody in it.
Nah.
I mean, they have the upper hand on you.
Yeah, I bought a returns cowl, and you can see it in my view. My listeners can't see it, but it was difficult to see in that thing. I did it at night for Halloween. Me and my friends came, and my friends were, one guy was just generic costumes they bought and everything, and I was the only one with, like, the full identical, basically, mold of the returns cowl, and I couldn't turn my head. It was painful, literally, to put it on, because of course it's urethane, and I couldn't see anything at night. When someone says "here you go," I had to turn my whole body, and people were just laughing. They're like, "Ah, you can't turn your neck." And I was like, "I don't know, should I just cut it like that and wear a cowl underneath, or?" But it won't. It's gonna look fuller, and my head's gonna look bigger than my neck. So I said, "I'm just gonna leave the full piece the way it is." And plus the amount I paid, I didn't want to cut up $120.
Yeah. There's so many different ways of looking at it. And I know I went the whole spectrum from the time I started to today. And I've made every type of suit, every type of way. And there's just a million ways to look at it. I know when I first did it, I thought, I'm going to be Batman. You know, like it's going to be like you were Batman, only you're not going to fight crime. And then after that, I started saying, you know what? I don't want to be Batman. I want to look like Batman, but be comfortable and enjoy my time out there in the public. So then it starts to work into a different way of being so that you can enjoy what you're doing, but be realistic about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then it becomes something else, and then you can enjoy it more because you've made it what it truly is rather than being wrapped up in the fantasy of what it isn't. And now all of a sudden you're having more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the ultimate fun I can have, really, is go around in the Adam West suit because it's totally lets you move around and stuff. So, I mean, but most people wouldn't want to do that because it's not cool. But
yeah.
It's cool to me.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like it, you know, and you can have fun. And that's what it's all about.
Cool. Before we end the program, I want to tell everyone, Paul is, in my opinion, the best person who does generic stuff. You can ask people who do it, but Paul, in my opinion, is great. If you want information, again, go on his website. Well, Paul, please stay online so I can thank you. But do you want to?
Thank you.
Any plugs?
Thank you very much because I've been told, you know, like say, well, you know, I've been told that the difference is with me a lot of times is that, you know, because I'm into the brotherhood thing and the camaraderie thing, I care about what people think.
Yeah.
So I take care of people. You know what I mean? And that's kind of unusual, I guess.
Well, that's the show. That's the deleted part of the show that we didn't have time to do. Thank you, Paul, once again, for being on the show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you guys want to be part of the Batman community, go to Brotherhood of the Bat or go to Behind the Mask. If you guys want to see more cool things on superheroes or generic costume pieces, go to artsy1.com. If you want to hear more shows of Friends in Hell, go to podomatic.com, search Kevin Gomez, KevinNGomez, or friend me on Facebook, and I'll friend you, and hey, I'll probably put you on the show. Once again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Episode 6 will be with Paul Rugg, voice of Freakazoid. And everyone, remember, Friends in Hell is the only place you will be, because that's the only place you will be in. This is Kevin Gomez signing off. Goodbye. I'm worried.